morning, church family. I am Bertha Warnell, not Bertha Reed. I will be reading from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, the NIV, the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
I was back there talking with somebody, and I realized, hey, I got to go out there and speak today. Let me see what time it is. What time does church end today? 12:30? Okay. I'm going to have to go real, real fast today. All right. Who's my PowerPoint man? Are you going to give me the first slide? I don't see the clicker. You got it? When I say one, go like this, you go to the next. All right. Anybody recognize that word? We don't have any Greek scholars here? No? Go to the next one. Anybody recognize that word? Anybody know what it means? Who knows what it means? Fellowship. All right. All right. We're getting there. Go to the next screen. Get a little more specific. Koinonia. Fellowship. Association. Community. Common union. Joint participation. Here's a good one. Intercourse. Intercourse. That's one of the words. And I might also throw in there the word engage. Let me hear you say engage.
Engage.
All right. You hear anything about engage today? Yeah. Our pastor talked about being engaged. And then his wife came up behind him, and guess what she said? A nurturing fellowship. So I said, that word is coming up everywhere, all over the place today. So God must have wanted me to talk about fellowship. Next slide. Means the share which one has in anything. Participation. Participation. Koinonia, all in that one Greek word. You know, that's a word that's in the Greek that's called with that one English word, hell. You know how many different words we have for it in the Greek? Anybody know? If you know, raise your hand. There are three Greek words for the one word, hell. All right, just a little aside. Go to the next slide. Okay, it means intercourse, fellowship, intimacy. For example, the right hand as a sign and a pledge of fellowship. You know, the right hand of fellowship, remember that when you're in the Baptist church? They gave you the right hand of fellowship. You came up and you shook the preacher's hand or you shook the deacon's hand and you were welcome into the group. Fellowship. And then finally, next. Acts, the second chapter, verse 2. Chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. That was just read. So I see it's just happening all over the place. It's a very interesting and powerful verse. The other day, I think it was last Friday, I went to attend Nodi's brother's funeral. And After the funeral, we sat down together with some of the attendees. And being the dutiful person that I engaged in conversation. And it eventually got around to coming to church with us. This person was Catholic, had been a Methodist, became a Catholic because her husband was Catholic, and she wanted to enhance her fellowship by being together in unity. And so I told her, she asked me, where did I attend church? I asked her first, where did she go to church? You know, that'd get the conversation going. And then she wanted to know where mine was. I say, it's not too far because I think she lived over in Markham somewhere or in the area. I say, we're at 150th and Ashland. I say, you know where Dell's Way is, don't you? Said, that's where we are. It's a great big stone church with a lot of green grass around it. And she was interested. So we got through our conversation and our discussion. I invited her to come to church. I said, come on by. You know, we're friendly people. We like to talk and discuss things. And you're welcome. And you know what she asked me? You believe in the Trinity, don't you? Because I don't go to any church that's not don't believe in the Trinity. I said, we got that covered. And I said, you know what? That was the time when we couldn't have said that, when we didn't believe in the Trinity. Well, we believed in different parts, but we didn't see them as a whole, you know, as an individual or as God. We believed in the Holy Spirit back in the old days. We believed in Jesus Christ. We believed in God the Father. So we believed in the Trinity, but we didn't know the doctrine. We didn't understand it. And a lot of people believe certain things, but they use wrong terminology sometimes. Like for me, you know, I don't like the word going to heaven, Sam. I believe in going into the kingdom. Because you're going to get to the kingdom before you get to heaven. But that's a minor thing, you know, it's technical. Because, you know, in the kingdom, you know, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Are you flesh and blood? So you can't get in the kingdom yet, are you? When are you going to get in the kingdom? When God transforms you. And so we have these different ideas, but the word koinonia means fellowship. And you know, God is a fellowship. The Trinity is a fellowship. It's a unity. And that's a scripture that reflects God's attitude about unity. He says, it's good for brethren to dwell together in unity and peace. And you know, God is the author of fellowship. You remember Acts, the second chapter, 42. When did that take place? Anybody know? You don't know when it took place? You ain't been studying your Bibles? Took place on Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit was given. You remember that? In Acts, the second chapter. But let's go over there. And let me see here. You know, I got 20 pages of notes, but it's in large type. So no need, I fear. I'm going to save some time for the pastor this week. But if you look there in Acts, the second chapter, and see the context of this event, you will see that in verse 38 it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So God has to call you. You don't get in this fellowship on your own. I was talking with Mr. Dumas the other day, and he's a member of the Rotary Club. And I said, how do you get into the Rotary Club? He says, another member has to invite you. And so there are a lot of organizations that you just cannot walk up and say, I want to be a part. Well, the church of God is no different. Would you believe that? How many agree with that? That you just can't walk up and join God's church? No? You have to be invited. You have to be called. If you study your Bible, you'll find out that that's to be the case. He says, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So that was a great deal of excitement and a great deal of enthusiasm in the air. And God's Spirit was working, calling people to himself. You know, the Bible tells us very plainly that you cannot come to God except through the Son. And you cannot come to the Father through the Son, and the Son through the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the glue that brings everybody together. And so God's Spirit has to be working in you to bring about this koinonia, to bring about this unity, to bring about this oneness. Because only with the one mind can you have the excitement that is found there in Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. And I'll read that once again. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, that's that word koinonia, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So these are the activities that we basically involve ourselves in as a church, don't we? We fellowship together. You know, when we come together on Sunday, we have a fellowship hall, right? What do you do in the fellowship hall? You fellowship. And what's involved in fellowship? You don't fellowship with those that you don't like, right? Unless, of course, you're trying to convert them to your way, to think like you, through the power of God's Spirit. He says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And, of course, we know that the power of the Spirit of God was working in the apostles, bringing about this excitement, bringing about this major event in the history, this central event in the history of the world. You know, if you look at the feast days, you got certain feasts on this side, then you got the middle, and then you got some events on that side. And, of course, we know the feast days tell the whole story of the plan of God. And what's in the middle? Koinonia. Fellowship brought about by what? The Holy Spirit. And we're getting pretty close to Pentecost. And so the Holy Spirit is really here working in these people. Now, these particular verses here are prescriptive. What does that mean? Prescriptive. No, excuse me. Descriptive. Got that wrong. These are descriptive. But there are other verses in the Bible that are prescriptive. And one of them says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now here it describes what happened. How many of you remember back in the day? When people came to the church for the first time, what would be one of the first questions that you would ask them? Anybody remember? How did you come into the truth? You remember that? And that would spark the conversation. And you would get to talking, and you'd be so excited to find out how this person found his way to WCG. For those of you who don't know, that means Worldwide Church of God. How did you get here? And I remember when I was first being called, I thought I was the only person in town, in the whole city of Tacoma, Washington, that had this truth. Because I didn't know that was a church anywhere. You know, I didn't know it was a church a couple of miles away from my house, and I never even knew that. I had gone to a dance in that church. I had sinned in that church, I guess. Dancing, you know? And so But God was bringing me to this fellowship. And I remember the people. These people were common. They were kind of hickish looking. You know, they kind of looked like they belong in the country. But, you know, I was so excited to be there. I was just so enthusiastic. How many of you felt enthusiastic when you found your way into the World Church? It's like you had found gold. And you know, these people invited me to their house. And I wasn't too far wrong about this hickishness. Because this one guy, these are bachelors now. They had a right in the middle of the living room floor was a great big barrel that had been cut off. And they were brewing beer. Fresh beer. So I was kind of wondering, what's going on here? But I was still excited. And we got to talking. We got to talking about scripture. We got to talking about going to the place of safety. We got talking about, some of them were Ambassador College students too, talking about Ambassador College. But it was just so exciting. And I kind of felt like it is right here in these scriptures. I was just enthusiastic. I was just so happy to be there. Because I just had found where God wanted me to be. Now, I don't know how you felt, but that really carried me in being in this church. Just finding that fellowship, that koinonia, which we all need to have. And tell you, frankly, I missed the Feast of Tabernacles for that very reason. Love to go to the feast because we had fellowship. We had 8 whole days and plenty of money to talk, you know, and go to the go-karts and listen to the sermons and fall asleep after you got back. You know, I did all that, been there and done that. Then we played basketball. Oh, that was my favorite. Basketball and baseball. And we had a good team, too. You know, there was not too many people that could beat us. But that fellowship that we had, that excitement, that enthusiasm, the choir, the speakers, GTA, HWA, for all of those, you know what those initials stand for. That it was just being there and just partaking of that fellowship, that being together, and the brethren, you know. We love to go to the restaurants after service. Head to the restaurant. And you're going to always find somebody there that you could fellowship with. Even if you had to stand in line, you could fellowship outside, get inside, sit down and wait for a half hour, hour, and fellowship some more. Then when the food came, you fellowship some more after that. But it was enjoyable. It was exciting. It was something that, it was just like, it was better than, I won't say sex, but it was really, really, really something else to really be there and to feel that spirit, to feel the power of unity, of oneness, of sharing. And somewhere along the way, we kind of lost it. We kind of lost it because, you know, the devil is always working. He's going to keep on working because the Bible tells us that in the end time, the love of many are going to wax cold. They're going to lose that spirit of fellowship. They're going to lose that spirit of enthusiasm and that oneness which God calls upon all of us to maintain. And you got to maintain it. You know, God gives it to us. He inspires it, gets us going. But, you know, the one thing that I think we have to do in our salvation is to kind of keep it going. To make it burn brighter. You know, a fire, if you don't fan it, if you don't keep oxygen coming to it, what will happen to that fire? Go out. So through prayer, communication with God, study of His Word, and fellowship, you keep that fire going. And you make it burn brighter. And as it burns brighter, you get brighter. And you get more excitement in your life. But now, you know what happens? Along comes some trials and some tests and some few things, some discouragements along the way. And it kind of puts a little water on the fire, doesn't it? But you got to start fanning a little harder. You got to start working a little harder to keep that fire going. It's so necessary because the devil is going to try to put out your fire. You know, we're to be baptized with water and the fire, right? The Holy Spirit. The fire, and what does the fire do for somebody? You know, the water takes care of the outside, right? But the fire takes care of the inside. You know how you purify metal? You put it in the fire and you heat it up, and what happens? When it gets hot, all of the impurities come to the top. Then you take it off. Then you put it through the same process again. You heat it up some more, all the impurities come to the top. Get off the impurities. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound like sanctification? That's what the Spirit does for us. It heats us up, but you know, if we let the fire go out, we might not come out too pure. You know, you want that 24 karat gold, don't you? You don't want no 18 karat and no 14 karat gold. You want pure gold. And so that's what fellowship, that's what koinonia does for all of us. And by talking to each other, you know, iron sharpen iron. You know, when we started getting off the track a little bit, the one thing that kept me together in this church is the people that I knew and that I'd grown to love and to share, break bread together and to share fellowship together and to be together, because that's what it's going to be like. And you know, God is really calling out those who really don't belong to him, because, you know, you got the wheat and the tares in the church, right? There ain't going to be any tares in the kingdom of God. But that's how you know you're not in the kingdom yet. Because flesh and blood, you know what God told Nicodemus, what did he say? Cannot enter in the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And of course, you know, we had our little version of born again, right? You know, we were in the begettal process. We were in utero. And then, of course, eventually, you know, the resurrection stood for the actual birth, right? But now we are growing. It's just a metaphor, just a parable. You can take it for what you were. Take it as far as you want to take it. But we are being purified, because, you know, the blessed are the pure in heart, for what? Only they. Can I put that in there? Am I misquoting scripture? Only they shall see God. God loves fellowship, but he does not like rancor. He does not like arguments. He does not like disagreement. You see, before Christ gets married, he's going to take care of his bride, right? What's he going to do with her? He's going to teach her some things, right? So when they come together, they can get along. They can stay together. Because, you know, in this world, you know, all of us got carnal nature, right? I got to say, Pastor Barker, at least 10 minutes. So, we are being called, or we are in a fellowship. Okay, I got you. We're in a fellowship, and God wants us all to be a part of it. He wants us to engage in koinonia. That's the fellowship. That's that brotherhood that we're all going to experience. So remember what Christ wants us to be. He says, I want to remind you of what Christ said. He says, but and if that servant says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservant and maidservant, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, and say, behold, my Lord delayeth is coming, then you will not be engaging in koinonia. So let's remember that. We're all here to learn that and to participate in it. And if we do so, we will truly be at one with God.
Thank you, Mr. Bellamy. I want to apologize for the technical difficulties. I know you all noticed it, right? Okay, it seems to have gone away. So I'm going to continue talking about koinonia, right? You see, there could be a whole lot of different things, because people ask the question, why is this koinonia? Why is this fellowship so important? And as I was going through my preparation for this particular message, there were five specific reasons why we can take a look at Koinonia and say, you know what? Yes, I want some of that. I mean, some of the things that I came up with was, not I came up with it in the research I was doing. These were some of the things that the researchers showed that Koinonia can bring to the individual, that it brings a greater picture of who God is. Because if God is sowing seeds in you and you and you and you, and each one has a different gift, and you're the arm and you're the foot and you're the leg, you know, then when we come together, we get a better picture of what God looks like. Make sense? Yes. Then it makes us stronger. Because if we recognize it, you know, by ourselves, we're weak. Amen. Reality. And that's why it's so easy for the enemy to come along now and sort of like pick you off. Because you all look at this National Geographic and Discovery Channel, right? When you see the animal kingdom and the lion hunting or any predator hunting, who's the first to be picked off? The one that's alone. Even if you're a strong, powerful ox, alone, you don't stand the chance against a pride of lions. You don't. So we become strong. It makes us strong. It provides encouragement. How many times do we know of that, you know, we're feeling a little bit down? I don't feel like going to church today. Woe is me. Right? I see some people nodding their heads, right? Woe is me. But then you come to church and then you meet in the fellowship of the brethren and you go away feeling encouraged. You go away feeling energized. You're strengthened. Hi, Bri. That's my girl, okay? Then another reason is it lets us know that we are not alone. Because when it comes down to true fellowship, we don't hide. I'm going through struggles, right? And I meet a brother and we start getting down in the word. And we start talking about this struggle. And I do recognize now that I'm not alone. I'm not the only one to be battling with this particular issue. But that comes through fellowship, right? I'm not alone. Because another weapon that the enemy uses is to have you believe that you're all alone, fighting this issue all by your lonesome, right? And, you know, it ain't worth it. Just give up, right? And how many of us have given up? Right? We've given up. And sometimes, you know, God comes along and he says, okay, come on. Get yourself together. Right? But also the other thing is that when we fellowship, it makes us grow together, unified in the Spirit. Right? So it's interesting that this word koinonia is a Greek word. And in the Greek Old Testament, the Greek New Testament, it only shows itself 19 times. Okay? Only 19 times. 12 of those times it refers to fellowship. And I'll define what fellowship is, what this koinonia is with regards to the believer. 3 times it shows itself as sharing. And twice it shows itself as participation. Now, let me talk a little bit about participation. When I used to teach at the university, right, there were students at the end of the trimester or the semester. You all know how it is, right? At the end of the semester, you realize that you're failing the class and that you come up now and you're asking the professor, is there anything that I can do to pass this class because I need a C? Yeah. Right? So they start arguing for points. Now, in my classes, I give participation points. And for me, participation is you come into the class and you participate. And they say, professor, I was here every day. Yeah, you got credited for that. You got a check mark. Right? But what is participation? Participation, at least in my class, is where you contribute to academia. Make sense? Because coming in and saying, yes, I agree with that. No, I don't agree with that. That's not enough, right? tell me, based on the research, why is it, what is the reason for the hope that lies within you? Why is it that you believe what you believe? Why do you agree? Tell that to me. And once you contribute to academia, then you get your percentage points for participation. So we can come and we can think that we are participating in the work of God because we show up, right? The doors of the church are opened. We show up every Sunday, right? But are we truly participating? You got marked present. But are you involved in the work that's going on here? Are you involved in the learning process? Koinonia. Participation. Another aspect of koinonia is sharing. I mean, we can share, right? But what is it that we're sharing?
Ourselves.
Yeah, we can share ourselves. And that's good. That's good, right? So we can share experiences. Okay, yeah, that's pretty good. And we share about, we talk about the job, right? And we talk about our struggles. And we talk about our lives. And we talk about this one and that one. And we talk about situation. And we can talk and talk and talk and share and share and share. But yet, are we sharing the right things? Because reality is, when it comes to koinonia, and this word called fellowship, for the believer, it goes way beyond the things that we just mentioned. For the believer, fellowship is like that cross. There are two pieces of wood to that cross. I'm not talking about the base. There's sharing and fellowship with God, and sharing and fellowship with each other. Right? I'm going to say it again. There's sharing and fellowship with God, and sharing and fellowship with each other. Two different types of fellowship. But if you notice where the cross meets, where the top piece, the top and bottom meets their cross, there's a little area here. In mathematics, what do they call it? They call it the intersection, right?
Yes.
Right? There's a place where the intersection happens between fellowship with God and fellowship with your fellow man. And that little place there, I'm going to talk about. Where does fellowship with God meet fellowship with your fellow man? And here's how it looks. The fellowship that we have, the fellowship that's mentioned in Acts chapter 2. Let me read that for a second. They devoted themselves. And look at the word devote. What does devote mean? Any teachers of English? Here's what devote means. It means, and speaking regular English, right? It means that you dedicate yourself. It means that you are focused on this particular act. It means that every little part of you, your whole energy, your efforts, everything is towards this thing that you're devoting yourself to. It means that you've poured yourself wholeheartedly into the thing, whatever it is. So this thing that they devoted themselves to was the teachings of the apostles. What was the teachings of the apostles? Read and you'll find out, okay? I don't have enough time to get into that. But they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to fellowship. I'll come back and discuss a little more about fellowship. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Breaking of bread, they shared meals together. And in some cases, they had no choice but to share those meals. Because remember, at this time, the church was starting to come under persecution, right? From the Roman Empire and from other people, okay? They devoted themselves towards prayer. Prayer is communication with God, right? Everyone was filled with awe. I mean, Mr. Bellamy was talking about the excitement that he had when he first came to the church. In the scriptures here, it talks about them being filled with awe. It's like, awesome! Right? There is a whole emotional thing there when you found this. I'll go back to the old the parable. When we found this pearl of great price, remember that? We found something so special, right? That it was overwhelming. Literally, we could not hold this back, right? And we keep talking about it, so we get down and we start talking. We start fellowshipping about this pearl of great price that we met. We start fellowshipping about the words and the teachings of the apostle. We start fellowshipping with our own personal experiences. The fellowship that we are talking about here is not us, hey, how was your week, Marcus? Oh, it was great. I'm answering for you. Oh, it was great. You know, it was fine. You know, man, and we start talking about, people say I pick on the Bears too much. Okay. We start talking about the Cubs. We start talking about, you know, the Dolphins and who's going to go first in the draft or talking about LeBron or whoever it is, and we're talking about the job. That's okay. But you see, what that type of fellowship does, it brings us into a community, and it's basically a social gathering. Yeah. But the fellowship, koinonia, when it comes to the believer, has to involve God. It has to involve the things of God. The fellowship we are talking about here is talking about, yes, you can talk about yourself in relation to God, what God has done for you. You see, what happens is that unfortunately in this Western world, we've been sold a bill of goods. We talk about, and we've been taught that we are all that, right? We are all that, we are important. We've been taught to be self-reliant and not rely on God, right? We've been taught to be self-sufficient and not find our sufficiency in God, right? We've been taught that we have to have self-esteem and not find our esteem in God. And we've been taught to be self. So when we get into conversations, what do we find ourselves talking about? Self. Because we have this belief that we all that and a bag of chips with a Coke. You know? But reality is, you know, God looks down on us and he says, it's not about you, Kenneth. It's not about you. To the degree that the believers, they sold property, sold possessions. For what purpose? To give to anyone who had need. You don't have to put your hand up for this question, but how many of us are prepared to go sell that house that you're living in right now so that someone else in here's need can be fulfilled? That's what they are about. You see, the fellowship that they had was so intense, right? The fellowship that they had was so much into the love of God and what God is doing with us here that their minds were far removed from the pleasures of this life. Now, I'm not saying that you should go sell your house. Please, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that we need to take a look at the self. And do we have that type of fellowship mentality, that type of fellowship mentality that says, let me go and sit and really talk about the things of God? And you know what? I dare say that if I were to ask you all to do that today, as soon as you go to the fellowship hall, here's what's going to happen. You see, I'm psychic, right? I don't know if you all are aware of this, right? I'm psychic. Here's what's going to happen. There are quite a few people that would sit at the table. Well, first, some of you are going to leave, right? Because talking about the things of God would be a little bit uncomfortable because it's not something that we are accustomed doing. And besides, I'm just putting it out there, there may be a few, just a few of us who, because our prayer life is shut, we don't take time to do Bible study. We don't take time to pray, and we don't take time to study the Word, that we really don't have a whole lot to talk about. So Pastor is now putting me in the position where I have to sit with people and talk about something that I don't really know much about. So you might feel a little bit uncomfortable, and instead of facing up to that challenge, you might decide to leave. Then there are those who would sit around the table, well, after they fumble around for a while, to sort of like scan. Well, I don't want to sit with Mr. Bellamy because he knows too much, right? And I don't want to sit with Mr. Williamson because he's an elder. He got all this information. Let me sit with somebody who don't know a whole lot, and we're trying to find someone at our own level, right? Am I lying, right? Then you have the other group who's going to say something like, well, let me sit here and hope that nobody comes to sit here. Right? And then when we do find ourselves in groups, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a little bit of a hesitancy to start. Okay, who's going to talk first? I don't want to be the one to talk first. Because suppose I say the wrong thing. How do we start a conversation about the things of God? This is a little bit awkward. But you see, these are the conversations that we need to be having. These are the conversations we need to be having with each other. And these are the same conversations we need to be having with them set of individuals that just went through the door, down the hallway, and across to the other side. Right? Those are the conversations. That's the type of fellowship that we are talking about. So the question comes up now. Are we prepared for that type of fellowship? Now, what we know about the human mind is this. Old habits die hard. You know, I'm not going to get into all of the neurotransmitters and pathways in the brain and elasticity and all this type of stuff. But what I'm going to say is that old habits die hard. And even if I were able to get you all to do that today, right? Two things are going to happen, definitely. One, we can start off talking about that. And in 2 or 3 minutes, what happens is that we go off track and we continue going off track, right? And then eventually we find that time's up and we never really koinonia. Second thing going to happen, we might do it well today. Next week, totally forget about it. So what I'm asking you to do is give it a try. Because I know personally, and that's why the Wednesday night group and the Tuesday night group, right, my peeps, right? I come away from those sessions, it's supposed to be Bible study, but it's not really you sitting and I talking, right? It's us communicating. Iron sharpening iron, right? What it is that we are talking about real things. And as we come away from those, I don't know about y'all. Do y'all feel it too?
Yeah.
Okay. as we come away from those sessions, I am energized. I think I learn more from y'all than y'all learn from me. Really, I do. Right? And we just come away from it with a lift. That is what koinonia is supposed to do. Friday night, we had some people across to the house. And after we discussed church stuff, we got involved in koinonia. And I felt that we were really, really making headways. I felt really close and I felt that lift in my spirit. That's what koinonia does. And we now notice also towards the end, towards my end also, right? They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart. Ain't no faking it, right? Remember, what relationship is God pursuing? He's pursuing a relationship that's real. Ain't no faking it, right? So, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And here's what it says next. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, some people ask the question, well, what happened here? It's not by any time and chance that God decided that he's just going to arbitrarily add to their numbers. There's something that happens when we pray as a church, when we koinonia as a church, when we dedicate ourselves to the teachings of the apostles as a church. What happens here is that the ground, and a few weeks ago I spoke about that seed falling on fertile ground. This is how a church becomes fertile. This is how a church, you know, receives. This is how a church, the ground is tilled. The ground is, we put manure in it. I'm from the islands, okay? Cow dung. Take our hands and we put that thing inside there and shake it up on people. How could you put your hand in that? And we just do. But you see, what happens is that I found myself, since I came to the United States, I don't use manure anymore. You know, you spray that thing, right? Use the chemical. But I love the manure. I call it getting down and dirty, right? Tilling that soil, right? Feeding that soil, you know, agitating the soil, aerating the soil. And we know all those terminologies, right? And that's what happens in a church. The church is aerated, tilled. Manure is placed into it. And speaking of manure, here's one little thing for you. Sometimes when we get manure, we don't like the smell, do we? When God puts manure in your life, can I say that? Notice I said manure. I didn't use that other word. When God puts manure in your life, you know, the first thing we want to do is to get rid of it. But it hasn't done its work yet. Right? The manure got to get down inside the ground. The manure got to get down inside the work. It got to work itself in so that the nutrients inside that manure, as it works and penetrates deep down inside, you know, the soil now becomes more enriched. So that when seed falls on that soil, you all hear me talking now? When the seed falls on that soil, what happens now is that, like my grass. I spoke about my grass. You start seeing these little pieces of grass starting to grow. And then you say, yes, Jesus, thank you. Finally, after 2 weeks, I'm starting to see a couple pieces of grass coming up there. And then I literally sit and I watch my grass grow. God is watching our grass grow, people, because he tilled the soil, right? He gives you manure. He gives you a lot of manure, right? Right? He gives you manure, and then what happens is that once we allow the manure to soak into our lives, then we have growth coming, and God literally sits and watches his manure work. Amen? Amen. Amen. And all I'm asking you is, let the manure work. Fellowship. Koinonia. If it is that you feel the need for this type of fellowship in your life, if you're one of those individuals who you're kind of getting there, but you need a little extra help, because this is something new for some of us, right? Talking about the things of God. If you're one of those people that want koinonia in your life, I want you to come right up here. And I want to pray for you. Right? Don't be afraid. We're going to ask God to put some koinonia on you. Right? So come on up right here. We're going to pray. If you're one of those people who believe that koinonia is important and that the life that you've been living really hasn't given you all of that koinonia that you need, I want you to come up here. If you've been involved in some way in fellowship, but you want a deeper fellowship with God, you want that fellowship between you and God, and you also want a fellowship that goes across, I want you to come here. We got room. You all can come on up. Make a bridge. Whoa, the whole church coming. That's good. Cool. And what I want you to do is I want you to lay hands on someone. I don't have enough hands to lay on everyone. I just want you to lay hands on someone, touch someone, bridge the gap. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to put some koinonia in us. Because God, you are our light. You are our strength, great God in heaven. You want a relationship with us, great God, that is real. But we can also only enter a relationship with you, Father, that is spirit. Because you are spirit, and we know, and you've told us that they who worship must worship in spirit and must worship in truth. So we come before you at this time, great God, as a congregation, Father, asking for your help, because we don't know what it's like to have this koinonia. And we pray, great God in heaven, that you would help us. Speak into our lives, great God in heaven, so that we can know what it is and that we can exercise this koinonia, because we want the blessings that come as a result of this. We want to enter true fellowship with you, great God, and we cannot do that by talking football. We can only do that by talking about the things of you. It's only through talking about you, great God, that we can grow in this fellowship. So we thank you, great God in heaven, and we ask, great God, pour out on us your spirit. Pour out on us your spirit of grace, great God in heaven. Pour out on us your spirit of truth. Pour out on us, Father, that spirit that communicates with you, that advocate, great God in heaven, that's working right now in our lives, Father. We pray, Father, that you would pour it out. Rain down on us. Teach us. Build us. Fellowship with us, Father, because we want to fellowship with you, but we don't know how. And here we are, great God. We are knocking on that door, Father. We are seeking you, and we ask that you would open this door to us, great God, and that you would open that door, extend that right hand of fellowship to us so that we can have true fellowship with you and with each other. Amen. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. By the power of Holy Spirit, we pray, Father. And in all sincerity, we place this at the throne of the cross. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Give God a round of applause.